Find something of value.
A higher education community in South Africa. Big city on intellectualization.
How central this humanity is.
Welcome to The Academic Citizen. I'm your host, Nosipho Mgomezulu. In this seventh season of our podcast, we're excited to explore the role of audio in creating possibilities for new ways of disseminating knowledge. Over the course of this season, you will hear insights from scholars from across the world presenting papers at the Sound Matters Symposium, hosted by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, The Academic Citizen, and the South African Journal of Science. In our previous episode, Nature Soundscapes, Professor Ikani spends time with New Zealand-based wildlife filmmaker and podcaster Karthik, whose work explores audio storytelling in wildlife conservation. In this episode, we listen with Sivua James, an independent fashion practitioner, thinker and archivist who works as a researcher for the African Fashion Research Institute, or AFRI. Her work merges video and audio to trace the hauntings of archives which refuse to remain silenced. In her 20s, Sivua founded Pilgrim Clothing, a menswear brand driven by storytelling. With Bongani Dao and Sihle Sokaula, they've created Imiphindo KwaXhosa, a podcast which centers indigenous languages and knowledge as primary listening material to think through the folds of history, culture, and language of African fashion. Let's have a listen.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. So this morning I'm going to present on an ongoing paper, but it's a part of this first season of Imiphindo KwaXhosa. Imiphindo KwaXhosa is a curious polyvocal sonic intervention that explores stress sensibilities KwaXhosa. How do Xhosa fashions come to inform, encourage, affirm one's place in community, their roles and responsibilities to others as they work, share, live, and as a part of a collective? Produced by myself in close collaboration with Sihle Sokaula and Bongani Dao, each of the show's episodes offers listeners a way to discover the ordinary as they are introduced to abahlali bakugatyane in the Eastern Cape. By making the somewhat forgotten and yet very much alive town the central site for the first season of the podcast inquiries, audiences are offered an intimate perspective on dress and the sensibilities that are upheld and continue to uphold the attitudes of the community found here. We trace threads of history, culture, language, and fashion through various forms of material culture KwaXhosa, like ikhiya umbhaco nefaskoti. These everyday objects invite us into co-authored histories with the residents of the lush remote site, detailing not only between isihlonipho, isinxibo nesihlonipho KwaXhosa, but also guiding us into coming to know idolophu yakugatyane. Imiphindo KwaXhosa demonstrates critical thinking and inquiry into other knowledges, troubling how we come to listen in when English or Western materiality isn't the main mode of experiencing a group of people. Each episode is overlaid with fragmented sounds, words, visuals captured from the journey. Questions are simple and unobtrusive to allow for something to emerge. The podcast offers an intimate engagement with not just the material culture such as ikhiya, but also the wearers, the unspoken languages or sounds of the community, turning language into a multi-sensory experience. It is feminine and embodied, inserting these so-called non-fashion voices into the fashion canon. At the start of the process, there were various ideas of how one could frame and locate dress, cultural, social, and spiritual sensibilities of the people, or of any people of an ethnic group located in Southern Africa. The biggest question being, in what ways does the creative and systematic work make manifest a body of material that honors its contributors, as well as the many histories that will underpin it? The podcast asks, what are the origins of ikhiya? What was the purpose of ikhiya for abantu bokuqala? Yayithethuthini, yayithetha ntoni kwindlela zesihlonipho sakwaXhosa? While attempting to locate the knowledge, there was a continuous realigning of what sonic interventions could offer AmaXhosa and other audiences when curated to not just present oral information, but also framing the scenes for locations that are constantly overlooked when identifying knowledge sites. How would the setting, the smells, the light textures, what I would be wearing as the host and the interviewees add to the dynamic nature of experiencing AmaXhosa? What was encouraged during the thinking session was a form of identifying the knowledge in this space. Inaccessible, maybe not recognized, often private, maybe even protected, but also sacred, special, inherited. It was about centering the finer nuances of AmaXhosa into the digital, whilst respecting what one would come to encounter in the physical. As a project that is formed under the banner of its funding agency, the production team had to consider language. So what does the act of translating isiXhosa do to the audience's capacity to engage with a group of people that speaks or expresses itself in more than just the spoken? What is gained or lost when one asks community co-authors to offer up their contributions in English? What is gained or lost when the host narrates or weaves the in-betweens of the material in English? These questions would inform our expected target audience and as well the audience of the broader commission that the project sat under. Another question to consider was the credibility of all the knowledges that we would be sharing on the podcast. And these had to be considered pre and post-production. As a decolonial practitioner, I had to trouble what is meant with these ideas of credible information. Who is setting the parameters for credibility and what makes that person the rule of ethics on the material's validity? These questions had to undergo scrutiny of the sort of systems they might be relying on. Western ideas of validating information versus African ideas of everyday systems of validation. There was a reorientation around who is deemed a knowledge maker. How does one classify them as such? And what in what they're sharing will validate the materials that are offered up as being worthy of the final body of work? It is important to note that in the traditional forms of academic research work, the oral as well as informal teachers, such as workers from art centers or elders in the village, are at times located on the outskirts of knowledge formation, sometimes only being recognized as interlocutors to the researcher. It is important to note that the researcher lacks any final qualitative works if it's not for the local contributions of these co-authors. And so the resultant first season of the podcast is a rough sketch, a bold attempt at remedying some of these colonial knowledge infringements that continue to overlook any and all forms of knowledge that is situated outside of Western materiality. How do you research your own culture? How do you familiarize yourself nesimlibo that belongs to bodies that are similar to yours, practices that you have been a first-hand spectator to? The personal experience of uXhosa became pertinent in aiding and responding to the research. How could I bring my more adolescent curiosities and desires to know more about myself into the realm of critical thinking, potentially tilting what research practice can look like? Since my first encounter with S.K. Bongela's Isihlonipho amongst AmaXhosa, I have been quite curious to locate academic materials that are written by Black people around Black histories. This is not easy due to my limited access as opposed to accredited institutional passes into official archives and libraries, where I'm able to potentially access a long pass that is semi-autobiographical. And so I've had to rethink what it means to locate information. How was I going to be informed about something that is done in the everyday by Abantu that sound and look and respond to life in ways that echo back to my existence? In March 2022, I had the pleasure of being introduced to Professor N. Sawule, award-winning South African-born writer, novelist, and academic. The professor was one of the promoters of Bongela's paper on Isihlonipho. During our telephonic conversation, while we spoke of the need and urgency behind finding ways of locating, documenting, and archiving isiXhosa, He noted how critically reflecting on dress sensibilities is not one of the things that is formally taken into account by our own. And by that, he meant amakhosa as well as academics. These are conversations that should be held and had more publicly in common settings, and that through this process, we are able to open up critical reflections and so much more. The professor speaks of how isinqobo sethu has experienced changes, and these changes being izinto that will happen in front of our very eyes, and some of these changes are illegitimate in the sense of culture, making the need for renewed documentation more pertinent than before. In our conversation, he also noted how limited the writings around isinqobo sethu are, specifying that there are forms of documentation that can only be found in small pockets. And so my provocation to the professor was, if fashion is a sort of language, how have we as amaXhosa evolved in this language of dress, as dress comes to inform so many particles of Xhosa life? Kubalekile ukuba wazi where you come from. How do we navigate the present with no inclination of where the origins of the point of departure are? Imvelaphi informs tomorrow. There is a collective interest in how amaXhosa okuqala live, where they were located, and how colonial intrusion could have shifted or displaced so many intricacies to Xhosa ways of being. Our collective memory has been erased or written over by the colonial authorship, the growing desire to create living archives around othered cultures and ontologies becomes a more pressing issue for today's generation of critical thinkers. We keep searching, we keep formalizing our domestic experiences of knowledge, of history, so that there is a place, a way of returning to something. When speaking of history, the where, the site of departure, is important to how we come to relate and confirm certain facts. The Western canon has made us believe that only the written can serve as a final basis for facts, when in fact, the oral has always been the foundation of knowledge formation amongst Indigenous communities, with our elders acting as archivists of the time. The professor continues to share, izinto zethu were never written ibeze zona zona ke. Sacinga thina bantu abafundileyo abayileyo ezikolweni ukuba laa nto eyaziwa ngootatomkhulu nookhokho yeyobudenge elungileyo yile ebhaliweyo. These systematic disavowals of Indigenous teachers' teaching methods has placed us in a precarious state where the revival of oral knowledges becomes necessary in offering room to ourselves in the realm of academia as well as the everyday. And so the 10-part episodes from the first season consist of fragments that aim to offer up diverse sources of knowledge as reclaimed or resurgent. This opening season becomes a language wayfinder, a cultural archive, a makeshift site for amaXhosa to visit with as they come to learn of themselves. Designed to mimic an anthology series, the public-facing listening site holds various sessions where individuals from the chosen areas or area offer up their personal and professional experiences, encounters of knowledge, of memory that continue to be relegated into the back of our social and academic rooms. Knowledges which at times only become accessible when ceremonies require of the recipients to know about them. Knowledges which have lost their validity in their own local environments or have been overlooked as taboo due to the continued rewriting that Western materiality poses onto Indigenous practices. With regards to language, it is important for this to be treated carefully through visuals as a way of bridging the gap, where, as the host, we've attempted to unpack a bit of the material and personal encounters in some of the in-between segments of the podcast. Subtitles are intentionally omitted to encourage participatory listening from audiences. By this, the sonic intervention aims to encourage anyone outside of Xhosa to either sit with a fellow Xhosa speaker and share with them, ask questions, learn through another while abandoning your own sense of intellectual superiority in favor of being a student to other worlds that live outside of your own realm of experiencing. Inspired by Rolando Vasquez, his thoughts in decolonial listening, the active listening language becomes the act of giving back a place in the present, of hosting and emplacing what has been eradicated. It becomes about the recovery of memories that have been silenced, that are no longer part of our awareness of the world, enabling them to take place again through embodiment and experiencing. In closing, Imipindo is an example of what co-authoring in informal spaces through the everyday can begin to look like. It is a celebration of culture, of people, of collective memory. The show's credits bring forth just some of the names of its contributors, centering them, honoring them as worthy of being seen, even in the closing credits and packaging of public works. There are many revision notes that the show hopes to insert into its next season, but for a rough sketch into collective listening and voicing, it has offered a polyvocal ensemble of knowledges and knowledge makers. Thank you.
As we at The Academic Citizen think about the relationship between traditional academic publishing and multimedia technologies such as sound and video, we necessarily have to think about language. Much like speech and written language, clothing communicates vital symbolic meaning and can be a creative site for archiving everyday practice. Drawing on the work of Mr. S.K. Bongela, Siviwe's project asks, how does isihlonipho come to inform the relationships to isiNtu wakhosa? Nokulinda Mkhize describes isiNtu as customs informed by the philosophy of Ubuntu, which frame African cosmology and principles of existence. To think from isiNtu is not merely to translate indigenous concepts into English, but a grounding of intellectual praxis beyond the centering of colonially inscribed monolingualism. Siviwe's sonic and visual archiving project invites us to listen in more than one language, to pay attention to the multi-sensory and multiple contexts in our communication. In the 1980s, the anthropologist Terence Turner coined the term social skin to describe the various physical, symbolic, and social aspects of the human body that have cultural meanings. Indeed, it's not just clothing, rather a rich mode of communication which reflects and shapes cultural meanings. Through contextually curated conversations, Imipindo kwaXhosa asks us to look into, amongst other things, the folds of iqhiya, the beautiful voluminous head wrap which offers a towering stature to its wearers. In thinking through dress, Siviwe asks us to ponder who are we addressing and honoring in our expressions of dress. Paying attention to the unfolding and refolding amaXhosa women engage in, Siviwe thinks with what Dr. Atambile Masola terms ukuzilanda, a concept that extends beyond return or nostalgia. In translation, we must contend with the peculiar difficulties that arise when there is no available direct translation for a word or a phrase or even a social practice. As we think translation from the oral to the textual and the visual, we must contend not only with legibility of context and speakers, but also with limitations, opacity, refusals. The art of translation is not only technical, but also political, bending disciplinary scope, cartographies of citation, hierarchies of genres, and histories of disseminating knowledge. In Imipindo kwaXhosa, Siviwe and her interlocutors foreground the voices and experiences of isiXhosa speakers, demonstrating the labor of care, always a relation of interdependence that shapes translanguage and practices. We thank Siviwe for sharing her provocations and sound clips from Imipindo kwaXhosa with us. You can learn more about Imipindo kwaXhosa by visiting the African Fashion Research Institute's website, afri.digital/foldpodcast. This episode of The Academic Citizen was written and hosted by me, Nosipho Mngomezulu. It was produced and promoted by Fumani Dwaga and edited by Andre Burnett. Our opening jingle was designed by Victoria De La Harp. The Academic Citizen is funded by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, which in turn is funded by the South African National Research Foundation. We thank Siviwe James for their presentation at the Sound Matters Symposium in November 2023. You can listen to all of our podcasts, including our archive of previous seasons, at www.theacademiccitizen.org. And you can follow us on all the social media platforms at The Academic Citizen, one word. We welcome feedback at our email address, theacademiccitizen@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.